Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, give attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we expose on how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not in emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, then observe. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews have been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone. See, they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Ship look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American. Or they slap them both together, look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack. Picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweats. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how we come by ya, I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews kill another Hebrew, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Shalom, shalom, Israel. Welcome to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. First and foremost, want to give all praise and honor to the Almighty Yahweh. And so I'm going to give a couple of announcements, but what I want to do, hopefully, you know, some of y'all have some things to call in and talk about, because I want to see, like, what's going on out there in Israel, what's relevant out there, what is the you know, the latest things that's going on that y'all want to talk about. Just think about it. When I play the next song, come back on, just push number one. I'll get you on, and we can talk about, you know, some of those things as well, besides, you know, the topic that I have on deck as well. But yeah, so just think about that. Think about what's going on and, you know, what we could talk about today, what's relevant, what's going on in the latest news as far as in the Israelite community. Also, we have a men's gathering coming up December, next month, December the 22nd. Wait a minute, let me get my dates right real quick. Make sure I got the date right. It's going to be a Friday and a Saturday. Well, let me make sure I have the date. It is the 21st and 22nd of December. That's the date. It's a men's conference, Cincinnati, Ohio, 21st and 22nd of December. All right, so mark that down. And y'all brothers from, you know, all around the country, hopefully y'all can come out to the men's gathering that we'll be having. Should be very good, very edifying, very, very fruitful, you know, and just trying to bring our people together in more ways than one. You know, not just coming together, knowing each other, but really starting to build some things together. So that's what it's about, starting to build some things together, which is going to loosen the neck, loosen the oppressor's foot off our neck. So the more we can rely on each other, the more we can rely on our brothers and sisters for all the different things that we need, you know, that's always a great thing. So let's come together. You know, as the scripture says, gather yourselves together, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. You know, before the decree breaks out, as the Almighty, through the prophet, had warned us. And that's what we're trying to do with all these different gatherings and meetings. You know, we want to have fun as well and enjoy our brothers and sisters and have fellowship and a great time and different things like that. But we also want to know what day and time we're living in as well, and not to take these gatherings for granted, because we need each other, and we're definitely going to need each other in the future. You know, to everybody that's of a willing heart, you know, come on out. You'll be surprised. Don't let any of your camp affiliations keep you from coming to gather with other Israelites. We never did that, you know. That's something that I've never done. I've never experienced. I never even thought like that. Never been around, you know, too much people in those circles. Of course, I see them in different things like that. I know that they do that. But all that stuff is just divisive tactics of their so-called leaders to keep themselves in a certain type of power. Most teachers don't want to, of that frame of mind anyway, because we gather with a lot of other teachers, which we have a beautiful time. You know what I mean? But most brothers of that frame of mind, they're building their own kingdom. They're not working to build the kingdom of the Most High. That's why you want to keep people away from each other. You know what I mean? They may hear something over here that you can't answer. You know, that type of mind state. We don't have that type of mind state, because whatever we can learn from anybody, if we find it to be truth, then we take that, put it in our truth bag, and it gives us more power and brings us closer to the Most High, brings us closer to what we should be doing as a people, brings us closer to truth, you know, and that's what it's about. So definitely, but like I said, you know, I'm going to play another song, and then y'all be thinking about if anything y'all want to talk about. Definitely push number one. We'll bring that up. We'll talk about it. Maybe the next person we'll talk about, if anything out there, anything relevant y'all want to talk about. Also, Israel Now, we will be throwing another gathering in February. All right, the end of February. And I'll give y'all the dates. I know it's the 20. Hold on, let me double check. Make sure I had the dates right. February the 20-something. Give me a second. Let me find where my date set so I don't give people the wrong date. It's going to be 3 days. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of February 2019. All right, we're going to be throwing it. Israel Now in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're going to be throwing it, bringing up, a lot of y'all may know, the brother in Atlanta, Beloved Daoud. Have great music. He'll be coming up, I think, with some more people with him that do music. We'll be doing music. We have Tassel Gang in Cincinnati, Ohio. They'll be doing music together, so we'll be putting on a great display of the Israelite culture, having a good time, you know, fashion show, you know, a market day where all our brothers and sisters have plenty of good natural products. And when we say natural, we mean real natural products, not the natural products, not like the Europeans sell you in the stores where they just write the word natural on it, but then you find out it's still not natural. You know, it still have bleach products. It still have things that are bad for you in those products. So our products are really natural, you know, without all of that. So, all right, so let's see. Hold on a second. Still trying to find this date. Make sure I get out the right date in February. All right, February the... Hold on, I'm having to search down too far. You know what? I'll find it. So I don't waste no more time, and I'll just give it to y'all after the next song. But towards the end of February, but I'll just give that announcement as far as the exact date after I play this next song, and then we go right and get into some scripts and get into some talk and things like that, all right? But right now, I'm going to play the City of Refuge and come right back and get into the scripture.
Run, run, and never got me nowhere, 'cause I cannot hide from you. Run, run, and never got me nowhere, 'cause I know you are my refuge, City of Refuge.
Looking back, sun scorching by, and in your wings shade us from that. We thank you, Abba Yah, cause you never fail. Staying on track, never be derailed.
So again, shalom, shalom. So the date is, so we're calling it the Midwest Brew Out Winter Gathering, all right? And it will be February the 22nd through the 24th. February the 22nd through the 24th. So definitely, if you can make it down to Cincinnati, just come on out. We're going to have a great time like we always do, you know, be edifying and different things like that. You know, we're not about division among our people. We're about unity among our people. You know, what can it hurt to unify? We could be from different cities. We could be from different congregations, but it don't matter. Whether you're afraid to gain a brother, to gain a sister, that's all that's going to happen. You may learn something you didn't know. You may share something with other brothers that they didn't know, and that's what it's about. All right, so again, y'all, you know, anybody have anything to say? You know, push number one. I get you on air if you have anything. Real quick, first and foremost, I'm going to deal with maybe a few topics. I'm going to deal a little bit with the Feast of Tabernacles. I also need to deal with a couple of basic scriptures dealing with the Sabbath day. I know sometimes we have different callers that are not even aware of who we are as Israelites. They're not even aware of everything that we're talking about. So we want to shed some light. Whenever we can shed some light, as the scriptures say, we should be a light unto our people. So let's go to the Ten Commandments, which we read every week, Exodus chapter 20, when we're in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." So the Sabbath day is a part of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments still stands, were never done away with. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and go to verse 1. If you look at any calendar, all right, any calendar, it'll let you know that Sunday is the first day of the week. The Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, according to Genesis 2, which we're about to read. Genesis 2 and verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Verse 2, "And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim had made." So which day did the Most High bless? The seventh day, meaning the seventh day of the week. In Exodus 20, that seventh day of the week is called the Sabbath day, because according to Hebrew and the Hebrew days of the week, the seventh day of the week is called Sabbath day. All right, and that is the day the Most High blessed. That's the day that he sanctified, according to what we just read, and that's the day that he commanded us to keep. Okay, so anybody on our line, anybody, you know, that's new to this information, if you're still going to church on Sunday, there's no scriptures that tells you to go to church on Sunday. There's none. You only have tradition. You can only say, well, my mother raised me up like that, and my grandmother did that before me, and my pastor told me to do it. But you can't open up the pages of these scriptures and show where the Almighty told you to go to church on Sunday, that that's the day to gather together. All right? We can worship the Most High any day, but one day in particular we were commanded to gather together, and that's the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week, which is the day that we call Saturday in English. All right, all through the book, when we go to the New Testament, it's the same thing. The Messiah also gathered together every Sabbath day. One more scripture on that, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So what we do is we read and understand the scriptures. We don't change the Almighty's commandments. We don't change the Almighty's word. We stick to what the Most High told us to do. Luke 4 and 16 says, speaking of the Messiah. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. That's what the Messiah did on the Sabbath day. Went into the synagogue, stood up to read. When? On the Sabbath day, not on Sunday. So this is a small inkling for my brothers and sisters, you know, that need that information, that need to share that information with their family members, share this information with the their Christian friends and things like that, so they can turn to the knowledge of the truth. All right. With that being said, so what's going on in Israel? You know, y'all hit one and just let me know whatever's on y'all mind. But I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to read concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to read the law about the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus chapter 23, starting at the 33rd verse. As we know, the Feast of Tabernacles is the last great feast of the year. As the scripture says, it's at the year's end. What does it mean, the year's end? It's talking about the harvest year. We know that it's in the seventh month, according to the scripture. And the seventh month is not the end of the year when we're talking about in the number system, because we have 12 months in a year, sometimes 13 months in a year when it's a leap year. All right. But the year's end is dealing with the end of the harvest season is what is called during that time. So I'm going to read the 33rd verse down to the 36th verse. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. So we see this is the Feast of Tabernacles right here. It lasts 8 days. Okay, the first day we shall do no work, and the last day we shall do no work. The first and last day are holy convocations. All right, so you go back to the 35th verse. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. It lasts 8 days, but on the first day you must gather together. Ye shall do no servile work. Verse 36, 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, and on the eighth day there shall be a holy convocation unto you. And on the eighth day, you also have a holy convocation. You also gather together on the eighth day. So this is the last holy day of the year, and this holy day lasts 8 days. All right, the Almighty is very specific about numbers, too. Throughout the scripture, the Almighty uses the number 40. Throughout the scripture, the Almighty uses the number 7. The number 7 means completion. Throughout the scriptures, the number 8 is used as well. Not as many times as the number 7, but 7 means completion. What does the number 8 mean? What does the number 8 represent? The number 8 represents a new beginning. All right, that's what it represents. So this Feast of Tabernacles lasts 8 days because this Feast of Tabernacles is the last holy day of the year, and it lasts 8 days. And the last day is what? A holy convocation. We all come together on the last day, okay? That last day is a holy convocation. The number 8 represents new beginning. All right. So what am I getting at? Hopefully you're going to see as I go along. Let me go to the book of Enoch. I'm going to read from the book of the secrets of Enoch, where he's going to explain something concerning the 7-day cycle. All right. Read a short passage. The book of the secrets of Enoch. All right. It says, and I assigned the eighth day. So basically, this is talking about after the Almighty, you know, created on the first day, he created things on the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the seventh day. All right, so after you read that, I'm just picking up with after that. It says, and I assign the eighth day to be the first day created after my work, and the first 7 to revolve in the form of 7,000. At the beginning of the 8,000, I appointed an uncounted time, an infinity, unmeasured by years, months, weeks, days, or hours. All right, so when we understand what that's saying, it's very deep. All right, so I'm going to go through it again. He says, and I assigned the eighth day to be the first day created after my work. So what was his work? The Almighty created things in the first 6 days, rested the seventh day. Then he said he assigned the eighth day to be the first day created after his work. All right. And then it says, and the first seven, meaning the first 7 days, are to revolve in the form of 7,000. That means each day is representing 1,000 years. All right. And then it says, at the beginning of the 8,000, I appointed an uncounted time and infinity, unmeasured by years, months, weeks, days, or hours. So if we look at that, as the scripture says, in these 7 days of the week, according to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, are going to revolve in the form of 7,000. All right, so we have man living on earth. We have the first day. What happens in the first day? Even in the morning was day one. All right, so we have man living on earth for the first 1,000 years. Okay, and that's represented by what? Even in the morning was day one. That's represented by the first 1,000 years. All right, even in the morning was day two, represented by the second 1,000 years. Even in morning was day three, represented by the third 1,000 years, and so on and so forth. Even in morning was day four, five, and six, represented by up to 6,000 years. Okay? Then what do we have next? We have the 7,000 year come. And what happened during the 7,000 years? If the seventh day is supposed to represent the 7,000 year, then what's gonna happen during the 7,000 year? All right, what's gonna happen is that 7,000 years represents the millennial kingdom of Yahushua the Messiah. Man's going to live on earth doing his own way, all right, doing righteous deeds, wicked deeds. You know, it's going to be wicked men are going to live here. Righteous men are going to live here, which is represented by what? Evening represents night. Morning represents day, all right? And throughout the scriptures, you can read where the night is represented, darkness is represented by wickedness, and day is represented by righteousness. So that's what we have. The Almighty mixed these righteous and wicked during the first 6,000 years because man is going to rule. All right? Man is going to be ruling. But in the 7,000 year, which is the millennial kingdom of the Messiah, when the Messiah comes back to earth, set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, that's going to be a righteous kingdom. And that righteous kingdom is represented by what? The 7,000 year. Just as it says in the book of Hebrews, when it says, or just say we're something to the effect that that rest that shall come. And it's speaking of the millennial reign. All right. So after the millennial reign, what happens after the Messiah rules for 1,000 years? Then we go into the eighth day. And what did the book of Enoch say the eighth day was about? And it is about an uncounted time of infinity, unmeasured by years, months, weeks, days, or hours. Because even a 7,000 year is still represented by months, years, weeks, hours, and things like that, right? Because it's going to be a 1,000 year reign. So we have to measure it. In order to be a 1,000 years, you got to measure each year, all right? So it's going to be measured by those things. But after that 1,000 year reign is over, and the city New Jerusalem comes down, and there's a new heaven created, and there's a new earth created, and the city with the streets of gold come down, and Yahweh come down, because the sun was already here. So Yahweh come as well. And when Yahweh comes down and lives in the city New Jerusalem, the sun, with all the righteous people who were given eternal life, then that is the eighth day. And at that time, it is unmeasured by years, months, weeks, and hours. At that time, there'd be no sickness, no sorrow, no crying, no death, no any of these things forever and ever and ever. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy 16. Just to kind of set up. So what we're looking at and what I'm going to deal with is a lot of people are familiar with the Passover when we deal with the spiritual precepts of the Passover, and we're dealing with the Passover lamb was killed on the 14th day of the first month at even. the Messiah Yahawashah was killed on the 14th day of the first month at Eve. And we could go back and forth with this thing. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to deal with a little bit. I just kind of wanted to set it up. We're going to deal with that aspect concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Let's recap it. You know, we deal with the specific laws, so we can do the laws. But let's deal with a little bit of spirituality concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. What is this pointing to? It's pointing to not the millennial reign of the Messiah. It's pointing to after that. It's pointing to the eighth day, which represents that uncounted time. That's why the feast lasts 8 days. So we're going to deal with a little bit of that. But first, let's get more of a foundation. Deuteronomy 16. And verse 13 says, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." So you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles for how long? For 7 days. But don't stop there. Go to verse 16. It says, "Three times in a year shall all the males appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place that he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty." So, it shall not appear before the Most High empty. All right. So, let's go to Ezra chapter 3 and verse 4. And let's just look at some of these things, what happened throughout the scriptures concerning this feast. Then we'll get into how the Messiah talked about this feast in parables. So where we at? Ezra chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, "They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required." All right, so they kept what? The Feast of Tabernacles. All right, in the book of Ezra, still keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 8. So looking at this great feast, which for a lot of my brothers, well, not a lot, a few of my brothers that I know had expressed to me that this is their favorite holy day, the Feast of Tabernacles. I like the Feast of Tabernacles as well, just like I like all of the feasts. But my favorite holy day is Passover. Is there something, I don't know, extra special about Passover to me? It's always did, has been ever since I first came into the truth. Also, maybe because it's just hitting springtime, and I love the warm weather as well. But where did I say to go? Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I'm going to read the 8th verse, 2 Chronicles 7 and 8. It says, "Also at that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great company, from the entering of Hamath unto the river of Egypt." Verse 9, "And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication, the altar, 7 days, and the feast 7 days." All right. So we see that there. All right. Let's go to just hitting a couple of scriptures real quick. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 13 through 15. Says, "And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which Yahweh had commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the 7th month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of the thick, and make booths as it is written." So we see here, they found in the book of the law that they shall dwell in booths. A booth is a tent. All right, so what did they do? They went out and got these branches and they came and made tents so they could keep the what? The Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Let's go to the book of John. Actually, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 13. Let's see this. Before we hit John. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. All right, so in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, starting at the 24th verse, it says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." All right, so pay close attention to this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven." This is the parable, but the parable is about the kingdom of heaven. And he's using wheat and tares to describe the kingdom of heaven. Verse 26. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares." So when the blade came up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. And what are tares? Tares are like wheat that you need to pull out. All right? I mean, not wheat. Tares are like like weeds. That's the word I was looking for. Tares are like weeds that you need to pull out, like pull out of your garden. All right, so the fruit came up, and once the fruit came up, then what? The tares came. All right, and the tares are the weeds. All right, so in this parable, the fruit is representing, you know, the righteous and the righteous deeds. Okay, and the tares are representing the wicked people. All right, that came along with the fruit. Verse 27. "So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had these tares? Verse 28. And he said unto them, An enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" All right, so he said, look, you sow good fruit or good seeds in your field. Why do you have tares? Then he said, the enemy have done this. So the question is, okay, well, should we go gather them up? Meaning, should we go gather up the tares and get them out of there? All right, to get them away from the wheat, get them away from the fruit. So let's drop down to the next verse, the 29th verse. "But he said, Nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root out the wheat with them." So he said, don't do that, because if you gather up the tares, you're going to also root out the wheat with them. Why? Because the wheat looks similar to the tares. All right, but they're not. The wheat is good, as the righteous in this parable, which is the kingdom of heaven, and the tares are wicked. All right, meaning our acts are not the same, but we're in the same places. Sometimes you're in the same congregation. You have wheat there and you have tares there. All right, verse 30. Then it said, "Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn." So if this is about the kingdom of heaven, then he said, look, let them grow together until when? Until the harvest. But when the harvest comes, all right, what's going to happen to the tares? They're going to be bound up together, and they're going to be burned, i.e. lake of fire. But he says, but the wheat, they're going to be gathered together and taken into his barn, i.e. the kingdom, i.e. eternal life. All right, so that's what we're dealing with. All right, and this parable here goes along with the Feast of Tabernacles, because the Feast of Tabernacles is a harvest, all right? And it's a harvest that's dealing with a last day harvest. It's a harvest that's dealing with these two scenarios. It's a harvest that's dealing with the time that the wheat or the wicked people will be gathered together to burn, and it's dealing with the time that the righteous will be gathered together to receive their eternal life. All right, now one may be thinking, well, I thought that was the Feast of Trumpets. Well, it's two of them. Why? Because it's the first resurrection and it's the second resurrection. During the first resurrection, you have the Messiah coming back to earth, and the righteous that are alive and remain will receive eternal life at that time. And the wicked at that time will be burned will be tanked and burned and destroyed. Okay? But then you have the Messiah setting up the kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. And the righteous will rule with the Messiah for that 1,000 years. But not all of the righteous will rule. Only the righteous that fits a certain category will rule during that 1,000 years. The other righteous will be resurrected after that 1,000 years. All right? How do we know? Book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 4, which I'm not going to read, but I'm going to quote. It says that unless you were beheaded for the witness or for the word of Elohim, or killed for the witness of Yahweh Shah, did not worship the beast nor his image, nor receive his mark in your right hand or forehead. It said they will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Only the righteous that fit that category will live and reign with Christ for that 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. And the wicked, at the return of the Messiah, the ones that are wicked, they will be taken and burned. Okay, so who's left? We have millions and millions of people that will be left who will grow up in the kingdom. Why? Because at the coming of the Messiah, millions of people of all nations will be not judged because they will be children in that day. And they will get to grow up in the kingdom. Okay? So what does that mean? The Messiah return, there'll be 4-year-olds, there'll be 5-year-olds, there'll be 3-year-olds of all different nations. These children will get to grow up in the kingdom. Why? Because they were not righteous or wicked. They haven't made a choice yet. They haven't did anything. So they're going to grow up in the kingdom. And that's where all these people come from, is in the kingdom. As the scripture says, in that day, a child will live 1,000 years old. It's going to go back to how it was in the days of Adam, where you would live one day, and one day was 1,000 years. What did the Almighty tell Adam? The day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die, the day that you eat of it. But according to the book of Peter, we know that a day to Yahweh is as 1,000 years, because to the immortal beings, a day is as 1,000 years. So we'll go back to that time and back to that day. So they'll grow up in a kingdom for 1,000 years. But at the end of that 1,000 years, what's going to happen? Satan will be loosed from his kingdom. He'll go out and deceive the nations of Gog and Magog, gather them to number to battle, a number as whom as the sand of the sea. Other nations will join them, and they're going to go up to try to fight against the Messiah and the righteous people during that time. Right? So that's what's going to happen. And then what's going to happen? We're at the end of that 1,000 years. Now what we're going to see again is what we just read here, how it talked about. The last part that we just read, it talked about, is going to be some, the tares are going to be burned, and the righteous are going to be taken into the barn. All right, and this is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. We already passed trumpets. Now we're dealing with tabernacles. So what's going to happen when they come up to battle? The Almighty is going to send, because remember, the Son is going to be on earth, ruling that kingdom, but the Father is still going to be in heaven. Yahweh will still be in heaven. The Father, Yah, will still be in heaven. And it says fire is going to come down from heaven and destroy them while they're coming up the battle. The fire is going to come down from heaven and destroy them. That's when we go back to the 30th verse, and it says, let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So when that fire destroys them, that's the burning that's going to happen to them. And then after that, the other righteous will be taken into the kingdom. All right, so what other righteous? The other righteous that's going to wake up in the second resurrection. And when the second resurrection happens, some will not receive eternal life, and they will be part of those that will be taken and burned as well. But they're all going to be judged according to their works in the second resurrection. And in the second resurrection, some names will be found in the book of life as well. And they will join the others that already received eternal life 1,000 years previous. All right. So when we're dealing with that, that's dealing with the spiritual aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Let's go to John chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. Let's hit this. And let's see how important this day was to the Messiah, whose true name is Yahawashah. Day, or these days, this feast, shall I say, of tabernacles was very important to him. So important that we're going to see he risked his life to keep it. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Yahawashah walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. For the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the work that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Yahawashah said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. So what did the Messiah just told his disciples? Go up to the feast. I go not yet up unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. So he sent his disciples up to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, I'm not going up yet. Why? Because my time has not yet come. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were going up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So after he let his disciples go up, then he went up after them to what? To keep the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, just as we do. We are followers of the Messiah, Yahawashah. He kept the Feast of Tabernacles. We keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 11. Then the Jews sought to kill or sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? So he knew that they would be looking for him because these other Jews at the time were trying to kill the Messiah only for doing good works. That's how much haters they were. They were trying to kill him for doing good works like, healing the sick, making the blind see physically and spiritually. All right, so verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So we see what happened. They were trying to kill him, so that's the reason why he sent his disciples up first, because when they seen the disciples, they said, where is he? So he knew that they would be looking for him. He knew that when they seen the disciples, when they seen Peter and, James and all of them, that they would think that he was with him. So he came up later, not openly, but in secret. So we see that he still kept the feast, even amongst that great pressure. Zechariah chapter 14. See what we can glean out of this. Zechariah, the 14th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. Let's get the context. Zechariah 14, starting at verse 1. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses ravaged, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. And the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Isaiah, King of Judah. And Yahweh my Elohim shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, for it shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall come out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain of Geba and Ramon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, and Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on his hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, and of all beasts that shall in these tents, as this plague. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King Yahweh of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we see him, even in this day, what's going to happen, and this is during the kingdom age, all right, during a 1,000-year reign of the Messiah, all right, different aspects of the 1,000-year reign, that the nations that are left is going to go up from year to year to worship the King, who is Yahweh Shah, and shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 17, and it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So we're seeing even in this day, they're going to get punished if they don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles during this kingdom age. So when the kingdom age comes, there's going to be a law in place that rules the whole entire earth. And that law will not be the American Constitution. It will not be Sharia law, which is Muslim law. It's going to be Torah. All right, Torah governed by the Messiah being the King. All right, so let's go to verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto Yahweh. And the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before their altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yahweh of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take them and seed therein. In that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. All right, so at the end, and no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. All right? But all nations will be required to come up from year to year and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. All right? So that's the Kingdom Age as the Messiah is going to rule for 1,000 years before that kingdom is set up, or before the eighth day comes, before the New Jerusalem come down. The Father, the Messiah is going to rule for 1,000 years, and that's part of what the Kingdom Age is going to look like. All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. We're going to see a little bit more of this. Let's just sum it up. Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse number 1, down to verse 4. So now, after that kingdom age, this is what the eighth day is going to look like. Revelation 21 and 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. So I need to comment on this as well, because a lot of people are saying, mainly the witnesses that knock on your door in the morning, they'll tell you that it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, but it's not going to be a literal new heaven and new earth. They say it's just going to be a symbolic or a spiritual new heaven and new earth. They say it's going to be the same earth that we're living on now. But that's not the case, because it clearly says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They were gone. And what else? And there was no more sea, meaning the new earth, when it be created, this earth we're living on now, is mostly water. It's more water than it is land. When the new earth is created, it's going to be pretty much all land. All right? Because it says there was no more sea. It's going to be all land. But as we find out in another verse, it's going to be still a small stream. All right? Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the holy city's coming down, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles is getting to, because it's the eighth day. It's representing the eighth day. After the Sabbath day, after the millennial reign, what's going to happen? The Father himself will come down and the Holy Spirit will come down, and they will do what? Tabernacle with men. The word tabernacle simply means to dwell with. They're going to dwell with men. That's what we get into. That's why it's the last holy day of the year, because it's pointing to this last great event. So let me read it again. Let me start at verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven out, are coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. When we get to this point where there's a new heaven created and there's a new earth created, and the holy city, New Jerusalem, will leave heaven and come down to the new earth, which the Messiah will be there on the new earth. The Father, the Holy Spirit, will also be there on the new earth. And they will tabernacle, which means to dwell with. They will dwell with men. And they will be our Elohim, and we will be their people. That is the spiritual significance of that eight-day feast of tabernacles that we keep every year, and we dwell in tents. All right, because we tabernacle together in these tents. We all have our individual tents, each person, each family, however we work it out. Represented by the Messiah said, I go to prepare a place for you. What are we going to prepare? New Jerusalem. But what's in New Jerusalem? He said, this place have many mansions. We got our tents, which is nothing like the mansions that prepared for us that's going to be in the city, New Jerusalem. But this is the time that Yahweh and Yahweh Shah will tabernacle with us, will dwell with us, will be with us, and we will see them as they are, all right, with their glory on. No more hide behind the rock, and you could see a glimpse of me. None of that stuff at this day. We will be able to see them for as they are. We will be able to see them with full glory on full display, because at this time, the whole city will be lit up by their shining, by their glory, which is their shining, shining like the sun. We won't need the light of the sun, because in this city, there will be no night there. All right? It will be daylight all the time, 24/7. But at this time, again, it's not even measured by hours or weeks or months or years at this time. All right, so verse 4. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what you want to get to. That's what we're doing all of this. If your goal is not salvation, what are you doing? You're building your own kingdom. So, with that being said, for those, we usually go an hour, but right now we're starting the show every Monday at 8 p.m. We're going to go an hour and a half from 8 p.m. to 9:30. All right, so we're at the 9 o'clock mark now. So I'm going to check my line. So, again, if anybody online that have any questions or comments concerning what I talked about today, push 1, I'll get you online. If you have anything to say concerning anything else you wanted to bring up, push 1, I'll get you online as well. All right, so I'm going to pick up at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So he's going to give you that fountain of the water of life freely. What is he talking about? Remember when the Messiah met the lady at the well? And what did he tell her? If you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked of me, and I would give you living water. Why? Not right then and there, he wouldn't have gave her this water. But by her following him, she would be, he letting her know, she will be able to be on this eighth day, where she would get that living water at that time. All right? Verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his Elohim, and he will be my son. One of the problems is this scriptures is so deep when we're dealing with the scriptures in general. But this is a beautiful chapter right here. And what I find, a lot of people that we meet Hebrews all the time will say, well, I don't read the New Testament. I don't accept the New Testament. The New Testament is a spiritual book. And if you're not spiritually inclined on that level, you're not going to be able to accept the New Testament. If you notice, all of those brothers are very carnal. They can't deal with the whole spiritual aspects of anything. All right? They just deal with do this, don't do this. And that's important. We got to do that. We got to keep the law. That's the first. That's the start. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments. That's the beginning. All right? But then when we're going deeper and we're getting that more relationship, that personal relationship with the Almighty, this is what we're reading about here. All right? Let's look at the next verse. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So those people will get what? The second death. And again, why is it called the second death? Because the people only lived once before. It's just that simple. A lot of times what we find in Israel is that a lot of our people can't seem to count too good. I was looking, scrolling through Facebook earlier today. I think my Aunt Aharona actually mentioned it on the Sabbath day as well, that people were saying that the Passover is on the 15th day of the month. But even though it clearly says the Passover is on the 14th day at even. But I think the thing was saying, well, the 14th day at even is really the 15th day. No, he would have said the 15th day at even. I mean, it's just that simple. Some of this stuff we shouldn't have to even do whole lessons or teachings about. The 14th day is the 14th day. No matter if it's in the morning, the noon, the afternoon, the evening, the fact that he called it the 14th day is the 14th day. And I'm saying that to say the same thing when we're dealing with here. When we're dealing with, when it says all those murderers and idolaters and sorcerers and liars and all these people, what punishment are they going to get? What is the punishment called? It's called the second death. The number two is always followed by the number one. They didn't get the 50th death. If they would have lived 49 lives before, they would have got the 50th death. If they would have lived 10 lives, they would have got the 11th death. But the fact that they will receive the second death let us know that they all only lived one life before. So this is your one life. This is your one shot. Don't let nobody convince you that you're going to come back, you know, 50 years later and get to live righteous that time and then get to make it to the kingdom. Nope, this is your one shot. That's the doctrine of the devil. You get it right now while you have breath in your life, while you can live and serve the Most High right now. If you want to be in this place, in this city, in this New Jerusalem, in this eighth day. All right, so I'm going to go to the call lines. I have one caller, area code 513. Shalom, shalom, you on the air? Wait a minute, give me a second. It didn't pop up yet, hold on. Okay, 513, shalom, shalom, you on the air? Can you hear me?
Yes. My question is, what happens to the wicked at the end?
The wicked will be burned up, which is called the lake of fire. So either way, the wicked will be burned. One time they'll be burned up, put in the lake of fire. But at one time, at the end of the kingdom, the wicked is going up to fight against the righteous. The Most High is going to send fire down from heaven and burn that wicked up. But either way, the wicked is going to be burned and destroyed, and they're going to suffer the second death. And when I say suffer the second death, it's not like Christianity has taught a lot of our people to say the wicked is going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, Satan and those angels that went with Satan, they may burn forever. But the wicked human beings are going to suffer what the scripture calls the second death, which we just read here. I'm going to read this verse 8 again, the latter part of verse 8. It says, actually, I'll just start at the top of verse 8. It says, the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That happens to the wicked. And it says, which is the second death, meaning they're going to be burned up and they're going to die. But this time when they die, not only will their body die, their spirit will die as well. Only the Most High can kill your spirit. People die every day right now, but their body just died. Their spirit don't die. Their spirit go back to the Most High. But at this time, when you put in a lake of fire and the Most High kills the person, their spirit dies as well. And then that person
is totally
destroyed.
So they just destroyed. It's like they don't exist anymore.
Exactly. Like they don't exist anymore. That's right. Because if they burn forever and ever, you know what that really is? That's really that they live forever. The wicked don't get a reward to live forever. Even though it's a horrible life, you're still living forever. The righteous get to live forever. The wicked get the second death. It wouldn't be called the second death if they were living forever and ever and burning.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, no problem, sis. Thanks for calling in. Shalom, shalom. All right, so yeah, anybody else want to get online, hit number one, I'll put you right on. All right, but until then, I'm going to pick up with this ninth verse. It says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim. So he showed that city, Jerusalem. And every time I read this, I think about the Tassel Gang song, Holy City. Verse 11, having the glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, on the north three gates, on the east three gates, and on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. He measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Verse 18, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. So just as you're reading this, you see, well, this is like the most beautiful thing you ever can even imagine, you know? Pure gold, all right, clear. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, however you say that, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth, however you pronounce that one, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every seven gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. So I want to be there, and I hope everybody that's listening to this radio show want to be there. So how do we get there? We get there by obeying the Most High, keeping His commandments, walking in the footsteps of Yahweh Shah the Messiah. That's why He came. We don't get there by going to church on Sunday when the Most High never said that. The only people that told us to do that was the Catholic Church, and they admit it. We don't get there by celebrating Christmas, and we can easily do the research to show that is a pagan holiday that was the birthday of a pagan god, not the Most High. That has nothing to do with anything in the scripture. All right, remember, Satan has deceived the whole world except for the very elect. You got to find the very elect and join on with them so you won't be deceived. I know I have some new people on listening, so how do you know everybody's claiming to know the truth? Everybody's claiming that their organization, their church, their whatever has the truth. How do you know who has the truth or not? Everything they do, everything they believe, they should be able to read it to you out of the scriptures. You can't read Christmas. You can't read Easter in the scriptures. You can't read going to church the first day of the week. You can't read any of that. But you can read the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read the Sabbath day. You can read how we are the Almighty's chosen people, the people He gave His word to. So that's who you have to follow. All right, the people who are right now still as a nation of people in the land that the Almighty scattered us to, just as the Almighty said he would, according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, according to Genesis chapter 15, according to Leviticus chapter 26, according to many places, according to Luke chapter 21 and verse 22 through 24. What did the Messiah say about the chosen people? He said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles, and his chosen people will be led away captive into all nations. So who is that? If he came 2,000 years ago, you got to put it within 2,000 years. What people within the past 2,000 years were led away captive into all nations? While we led away captive into all nations, Jerusalem, the place we used to live, is trodden down, which just means walked upon by the Gentiles. Who are these Gentiles that's walking upon Jerusalem? The European Gentiles, the people that's there right now that the world believes are the Jews. They're just fulfilling prophecy. Revelation 2 and 9 says, those that call themselves Jews and are not. So obviously somebody's on the earth calling himself a Jew and is not. It's mainly two categories of people. It's those Europeans and the religion of Judaism, and it's us, so-called African-Americans, that are scattered. So it's real easy to find out. Let's read the prophecies, and whichever one fits the prophecies is the real Jews. The real Jews in the scriptures have hair like wool, not goats. The real Jews in the scriptures are black people. How do you know that? Because sometimes when the Most High is mad at them, he curses them and turns them white. Obviously, they wasn't already white. The real Jews in the scripture keep being mistaken for Egyptians. Egyptians in the days of Moses were black people, very black people. They left thousands of pictures on the walls to show how they looked. And they thought Moses was one. They thought Paul was one. In Genesis chapter 50, they thought all of the sons of Jacob was Egyptians. It's not that hard to figure out when we start to read with understanding. I just seen the other day, our people that are still asleep went to church on Sunday, and I was looking online, and I seen how they, I don't know who the person was, but I guess some pastor, instead of walking up to the podium to say what he's going to say, to give his show or whatever, he came down on something flying through the over the audience. I mean, it's just a show, and it's just a spectacle. It was like, some type of harness he was on where they rolled him all the way through so he could go there and talk. And I'm like, was that really necessary? For what? But this is what we have been reduced to. Because who controls our leaders? Who controls our teachers? Who controls our belief system? The powers that be. And who are the powers that be controlled by? They're controlled by Satan. Satan, the Almighty said, the earth has he given over to the hand of the wicked. Satan tried to tempt the Messiah and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you bow down and worship me. Because these kingdoms on this earth right now, for these 6,000 years into the 7,000 year, these kingdoms belong to Satan. And he give them to who he will. And he give that power and authority to who he will. And who did he give it to right now? He has given it to the powers that be. These Freemasons, Illuminati, Secret Society, that's who he gave it to. And these are the people that control your religion. You think you picked some religion freely, but you didn't. So one of the most important scriptures, what we got to do right now today, study to show thyself approved. If you don't read about Christmas in the Bible, don't keep it. If you don't read the first day of the week is the holy day, don't do it. All right? Let me pick up at, I think I left off at verse 22. Back to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. for the glory of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So, again, what I want y'all to get out of this as well is the 7 days of creation, the Feast of Tabernacles, is none of these. Spiritually, the Feast of Tabernacles represents the next day, which is the eighth day. All right? So, go to verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. The glory of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So that's where you want to be. You want to be in the book of life, and you'll make it in that city. All right? Want to be in the book of life, and that's who will be able to be in that city. And the nations come to it, bring their glory into it. So we can tell from that verse that what? The nations receive salvation, but everybody is not going to live inside of that city. All right? But they'll live forever, their eternal life. They'll be outside of the city, some of them. But the gates of the city won't be shut day or night. They can come in and out. They can visit, right? But at the same time, we have a new earth with no sea, all land, all right? So that's what we're dealing with here. Let me see. We're at about the eight-minute mark. I'm going to end with a song. If anybody have anything to say, push number one, I'll get you on. If not, I'm going to end with like one more song. And then I will say join us again next Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same number.
Righteous, blessed by the hands and the ways of the highest.
You should
count the blessings, name them one by one. Make sure you give him glory for his risen son. Every day's a blessing. Mistakes are just lessons. Never see me stressing, cause I overcome. You should count the blessings, name them one by one. Make sure you give him glory with his risen son. Every day's a blessing. Mistakes are just lessons. Never see me stressing, cause I overcome.
My crops near.
Be careful with your choices, yeah. It's up to you. Be careful what you do. We rebuke the mind and courses, yeah. In your house shot name. He came, now we change. Be careful with your choices, yeah. It's up to you. Be careful what you do. We rebuke the mind and courses. I was shot, man. He came, never changed. Yeah.
No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Nah. Bully come against me, watch me eat like pasta. Guess I gotta let you know that I got real shots. True bruise, tribe of Judah. No, we not Rasta. We the true Israelite, unlike them imposters.
Yeah.
Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
Perjury is blatant. How them devils racist?
Huh?
Hitler could have killed them all if the Father graced me. Shape of sun and place. Fire fall till it burns the faces. Literally or metaphorically, however you take it. The wicked setting trends got our women out here naked. The choices that we make it are evidence we've been forsaken. Hip hop culture, counterculture to the awakening. New age doctrine was laid at the foundation. Homo relationships like any other Greek creation. Stay away from fraternities and the damn Freemasons.
Be careful with your choices. It's up to you. Be careful what you do. We rebuke your mind and courses. In your Havashah's name. He came, now we change. Be careful with your choices. It's up to you. Be careful what you